I want to thank the Lord for a special help that He has given me this week. He's been very gracious and merciful to me. He's answered a prayer that I've had for some time. We desire the Spirit of the Lord to be with us today. We have another message concerning forgiveness. And it came to me like this, that it's a cluster of messages. And they're sort of, they have to be grouped together, it seems, for us to be reminded of the warning of the first message, because the Lord is wanting us to be prepared for the judgment. You know, it's going to happen, as the scripture says, in a twinkle of an eye, a blink. There's no time to correct anything then. There's no time to pray. But we can prepare right now. I'm thinking of the scripture that is so used probably more times than we can count. What the scripture says, it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Aren't you thankful for the scripture this morning? That it was not given by man, but it was given by God. And the purpose that God had was to be profitable to each one of us today. I don't know, you know, sometimes, you know that we don't have a billboard outside that we can put the title of today's message on it before it's given. I suppose people could drive by and see what the title is and make a choice whether I want to hear that or not. So in a way, you came not knowing what you might hear today, but we're leaning on the Spirit of the Lord to give what is profitable. And what the scripture also says is it will profit me if it gives me reproof of any kind. Reproof is something that we value when we're raising our children, don't we? We give them warnings, and you do that again, and this is what's going to happen, and it trains them, and it teaches them, and they begin to grow up. And I just was looking at all of the little children standing up here in front, and specifically the real young ones. It wasn't that long ago they were babes in the arm. And now they're beginning to understand. And I don't know if you all heard fill in just a little bit ago at the end of the song, and somebody said amen, and he said it too. Oh, how valuable that is. So when we come and we don't really know what the Spirit of the Lord is going to speak to us, we can open our hearts and say, Lord, give it to me and make it profitable. And if I need reproof, or if I need correction, or if I need instruction, and then, or if I need to be warned, your word says that it would perfect me. Your word says that it would furnish me to every good work. So that's the value of coming and sitting together in this place, in a heavenly place. And we are not going to entertain you this morning. I was working with the boys and with their math, and they were earning a privilege by doing math problems. And one of them just, well, it was Rowan. He just sort of spit out his multiplications. And I said, how did you learn that? And he said, well, we played this math game, and I just remembered it. And then one of the boys said, well, I was a little bit entertained during that time. And I said, well, you know, entertainment will only dull your brain. And that's how it is in living for the Lord and coming and hearing the word of the Lord. If I just entertained you this morning, you would leave with a duller mind. Is that a word, duller or more dull? So this morning, I think the Lord is desiring for us to be reminded again because of the conditions that are applied to forgiveness or unforgiveness, because we know we've heard it the last two messages and many other messages that if we refuse to forgive, that we will not be forgiven. So time is running out, and we will, at some point in our life, we will stand before God, or we will see His coming. And I had to think about Sister Mary Lawson, and it's been quite a long time since she has been in our congregation to minister unto us, but there is something that she said one time that I recall, and I want to say it to you this morning, but she made this statement, there will be more people in hell because of unforgiveness than any other sin. And I think that she is right. I think that you and I can I say it this way, measured up in every sense of the word, and be able to hide a root of bitterness and unforgiveness. But God always knows. And there are so many things that people can get hurt and wounded about. And it works a work in them. So I believe that God is wanting us to evaluate, search ourselves. Can we search ourselves? I believe we can by the Spirit of the Lord. So this morning, we're going to consider and maybe not turn over there and read, but just quote some of it, of the scene where the shepherds were watching their flock by night. And there was an angel cry. And this said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I think sometimes we have to stop and consider these words, and I don't think that we can ever overemphasize this message. We may take it for granted, it's just part of the announcing of Christ's birth, coming to earth and all, but I want to tell you something, that there is a message in that we need to hold on to, because God is such a merciful and loving and compassionate and forgiving God. He's ready to forgive you and me at whatever need that we have to be forgiven. He's ready. That's in that little proclamation, the good tidings of great joy. And it's to all people. But there was another little portion that was announced also there. And it said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Have you ever thought of goodwill? Have you ever thought how that God has goodwill toward all men? When we think of what that means, that he said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that's goodwill. He only has goodwill toward you this morning, toward me. The word of the Lord says, he hath not dealt with me or you after our actions, after our sins. He's not been a God that has been so willing to cut me off, because he had goodwill. He had a purpose that I succeed, that you succeed. Everyone here, that goodwill reaches out to you for success in your Christian race. So this morning we want to speak about goodwill. So I'd like for you to put every other thought out of your mind and just think of the word goodwill. Does it speak to you? What does it say? What does goodwill mean? Now, I want us to go beyond what we're saying, that God has goodwill toward us. Let's think about relationships with our brothers and our sisters and our families and our fellow workers and all that we come in contact with. Have you ever felt goodwill from someone? You know, goodwill, the very foundation of the word goodwill is love. Have you ever felt loved by someone? Have you ever said, I know they love me? I have. Maybe there are certain individuals. Maybe there's individuals in your life, even maybe a special relative. And you always said, I have this. I never doubted their love. You ever felt that way? Goodwill is such a good word, isn't it? Yeah, it's a good word. I wrote down here that it's a word that simply sounds good. The very sound of that word brings a comforting feeling to me. And maybe we are always, or most of the time, maybe we are always concerned or are more in tune to ourselves than we might be to others. But do you know we need to be in tune to others with goodwill? The Lord has really been dealing with me about this, and I found myself praying, Lord, give me goodwill toward all men. And to give me goodwill, well, I'm going to, with Cheryl's permission, I'm going to repeat her testimony from Wednesday night. Those of you that were here and those of you that weren't here, she testified on Zoom, and she testified of the impact of the message from last Sunday, which was on forgiveness, the second message on forgiveness. And so she told of a wound and an offense that she thought she had forgiven. And yet when she heard the person's name, she said there was still a feeling in her heart. Anybody ever experienced that? We're human, aren't we? But it might be a point for me to consider. If I'm dealing with forgiving an offense and a wound, if I'm having a little difficulty when I hear that person's name, I need to reevaluate, have I truly forgiven? And that's what she did. She said that the Lord spoke to her and said that she had not been willing to forgive. She was still bearing some of the wound. Her testimony was that she chose to be willing to forgive. And she said that from that time on, there was no ill will when she heard that person's name. You know, that's a little benchmark right there that we could all use to test ourselves. There is, and you've heard these sayings, I don't really specifically think that the Word of the Lord words it exactly like this, but the very fundamental teachings of God's Word supports these sayings, but I've heard it different times being said, and it says, love is a choice. And I suppose when I heard it, I thought, is it really just a choice? It is a choice. But at the same time, forgiveness is also a choice. I choose to lay it down, to forgive. I choose to have goodwill. Now, does that mean I do it in my own power? Absolutely. We need the power of Christ. We need the grace of God. We need... Have you ever prayed and when you maybe didn't feel quite the love in your heart for someone, did you ever say, oh God, would you please put your love in my heart for... That's how you get it. It's not like I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to change and I'm going to have... No. It is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation and His grace that you seek it. You have to seek for it. This is not something that's just going to be poured out upon you like a bucket of water. So we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, fill my heart with your love for whatever, whoever. And then when you start dealing with that wound and that offense and that hurt and that you're sometimes tormented in the night. You ever been tormented in the night because of these kind of things? Yes. But you go to Christ. You go to the God that is able to help us. Lord, give me a forgiving heart. That's seeking for it, see? And you've got to seek for these things. I would say that Cheryl chose and that you and I are going to have to choose also. Because the last two messages, Dan has said, if you don't need it right now, just keep breathing. You will need it. Before you leave this world, we all will need to have love and forgiveness and goodwill. You know, there is a scripture, and Jesus said it, and he said that it was the first and the greatest commandment. We're not going to turn over and read it. But we all understand that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then another commandment, and he said it's the second commandment, and it's just linked right up there, just right with it. And it says that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. And the question was posed in one of the Gospels, and it says, well, who is my neighbor? And I don't know that that there's really just a hard and fast answer to who my neighbor is. Yes, most definitely, it's my neighbor that I live close to. But it could be my neighbor is the one that I work with. And most definitely, it's those that are around about us, even in our families. It's very difficult sometimes when it comes to family. You don't have to be with your neighbor next door for long periods of time, but you have to be with your family day in and day out, and they are forever a part of you. So that's how sometimes we can be most tested with just our relationship with our family. But it doesn't have to be bad. You can seek for that same kind of love and forgiveness and goodwill that it operates in you, that it flows out of you. And we have a scripture speaking about, and I may not be able to quote it just right because I didn't really look this up, but it speaks about a river of life that it, flowing out of, I think it's the belly. That is what God is desiring for each of his children, to have something flowing out that comes from him. I can't produce it. I tell you what I can produce. I can be plagued with ill will. I can be plagued with all, I can be plagued with hatred and malice. Anything that comes from the pits of hell, the enemy will try to plague you with. It will take you and me resisting it. And when you consider that scripture of resisting the devil, what's the first step? You have to submit yourself unto God and then resist the devil, and then these things will flee. So I have a neighbor, and it's anyone who is around me, who has an impact in my life, who is associated with me, anyone that is sitting next to me in the service this morning. That's your neighbor. I read this somewhere about comment about the neighbor. It said, your neighbor is that person God calls you to love. It's a calling for you to love your neighbor. It's a commandment. And it's that one that God is calling you to extend mercy and forgiveness and grace. And remember, you may not need it today, but you will need it sometime. In Mark, the 12th chapter, in verse 31, which is this a repetition of these scriptures, it ends with this. It says, there is none other commandment greater than these. It's a great commandment, but that's what God commands, is that we love one another. as He loved us and has loved us. And the scripture tells us that we really didn't know how to love God, but He first loved us. So love is of God, and love is the thing that works through God for me and for you when we are offended and hurt. Well, there's one other, I'm going to say most powerful teaching next to forgiveness. And it doesn't call it this in the word of the Lord, but it's known as the golden rule. Have you ever heard of the golden rule? We don't talk about it too much, do we? Maybe hear about it from time to time. Matthew 7 and 12, this is what it says. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What does that mean? It's sort of a fundamental law of God. It's an absolute principle of God that it will be spoken to in all generations. It will be taught in all generations. There will never be a generation that this particular rule will be changed or altered. So ever how many generations come beyond what is sitting in our midst today, this rule will apply to their lives. And it applies to us today. How do you want others to treat you? And we don't go around, you've heard it said, we don't go around with a sign on our body that says, I want you to treat me like this. Therefore, because we are not able to communicate to our neighbor or our fellow man or anyone in our family how we desire to be treated, then we have the commandment to treat them in a way so they understand. So how you want to be treated is the golden rule. You treat the others in the same way. You talk to them in the same tone of voice. How many likes to hear a harsh, reprimanding voice? Not one of us here today would raise our hand and say, oh, I love it. So we have to stop and we say, we check the tone of our voice. It conveys a message. It says something. When I use a wrong, I'm going to say wrong because I think we've all been there where we used a tone of voice that we felt badly about later. So I'm thinking of another scripture that comes to my mind right now that says what a soft answer does. And it says that a soft answer turns away wrath. And I will never forget when the Lord opened that up to me, the true meaning. And every one of us have probably thought, well, if I speak real softly, I'll turn away their wrath. I'll turn away their anger. And it can work that way. But the true meaning of that is when you speak in a tone that is soft, it turns away your wrath. It calms your spirit. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced also facing situations and you were stirred in your heart? And maybe you even thought, I'd like to say this. I've had that. And I want to tell you the way that I combated that temptation. Because it's a temptation. We've all been there. I cried out to the Lord like this. I said, "Oh God, give me a sweet spirit." So if you cry out to the Lord to give you something, do you think He'll withhold it? I believe He gives it because we're seeking for the right thing, the right reaction, the right response. Lord, help us. So we go on in Luke 6, the sixth chapter of the book of Luke. Jesus took this fundamental law and fundamental principle and He went a step farther. And He said, "As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye?" It's so easy to love those that love us. But Jesus is taking it a little farther. You're going to need to love those that don't love you. It says sinners love those that love them. That's an easy thing. "And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye?" Where is there any reward in that? And then He says, "But love your enemies and do good, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. And be ye merciful as your Father also is merciful." And then it steps over into a different thought, slightly. But we all need to hear it and we need to apply it. "Judge not, that ye be not judged. Condemn not, that ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven of your heavenly Father." That's not in there. I added that. It's the most important one. You know, He has ways of us living with our fellow man, in our families, those that we associate with. He wants us to be an example of Himself. I want to go back now and just sort of review the three examples that was in last Sunday's message. And I want us to apply goodwill in each one of them. The first one was about the servant that was forgiven of all. And had he valued his forgiveness? When God forgives you, do you value His forgiveness? We must. We must count it of high and great worth that He has forgiven me of my sins. But had this man valued his forgiveness, and if he had had goodwill toward his fellow servant, what would have been the result? I wrote down here, he would have had his cup full and running over. How blessed his life would have been. All it took was forgiveness and goodwill. Then we think of Joseph, because Joseph was, the core thought of Joseph was that he was not willing to, in all of the conditions of his life, Joseph was not willing to sin against God. Oh, that is really a valuable characteristic and determination. I will not sin against my God. And so it was that principle that it maintained, I think.
identified himself to his families and, I mean, to his brothers, and he said, go back and get your father and get all of your families and come here, and I'm going to give you the best land. That's goodwill. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to provide for them a posterity that would grow and develop and be a glory. He didn't have to. But that's what goodwill is. I want the best for my family. Oh, I think it's still one of my favorites. But if Joseph had not had that absolute confidence that God was the one that took him down into Egypt, I don't think he would have maintained that. And I'm going to add this in here because something was said in Sunday school this morning close to the end about humility. Sweet, humble, forgiving, goodwill, they all just go hand in hand. Oh, thank the Lord.